Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. It is a gorgeous Sunday morning, and from my office space, there's a beautiful, almost as tall as the second story, and the tree and the leaves are green and fabulous and just fanning out all over the front yard, and I'm looking at these little ground brown birds and yes. Inhale, exhale. Oh, it's just a gorgeous morning out. So good morning and welcome to the Charmaine Show again on Blog Talk Radio. And I inhale and I exhale. And I inhale and I exhale. And then I get right into today's show because something that has been in the news the last few days, and it's something that really struck a chord in my heart. And as a PhD student of psychology and someone who has been so fascinated with the study of the mind and also a work-life balance expert and, most importantly, a mother of three boys and living and being with my husband of 23 years. So, you know, this really struck me. And today's show, Charmaine Show, discusses a DMX tragedy, Black men and mental health. And I know a lot of people, regardless of what color you are, whether you love the music or not, so many of us were so floored and heartbroken when the news broke that this 50-year-old, just turned 50-year-old young man, black man, died, and allegedly from the news report, a drug overdose and having a heart attack and several health issues, physical health issues that came about as a result of that. And when I posted about DMX, and I'm not a DMX fan, so to speak, follow the music, but, you know, of course, you know, some of the songs, you're like, oh, that was him? Oh, my gosh, you know. And then you listen to it again, and you hear that rasp. And sometimes it's a little too late when we begin to peel the layers back, but it's never too late to start the conversation over. It's never too late to have the conversation. But still, I find in our world that we shy away from the conversation, the conversations that go so deep, so way back, so ingrained in our culture. And because I'm saying our culture, because today's show is on a DMX tragedy, Black men and mental health, I'm going to stick with that for a moment. And I'm going to hone it in to, and I'm going to try to do this in 30 minutes. You can never have a full conversation. You can never peel all the layers back. And you can't hit all the bullets that you want to hit and all the targets that you want to get to begin to open up that can of worms, right? And so when we think about our Black men, and I will rarely use the term African American because I feel like it is such a cultural travesty and a tragedy. So we understand that part of our shared cultural experience as Black people is our family connections, our values, and sometimes even our expression through our spirituality, which is our music, our church, our reliance on the community, our religious networks, right, and other sources that are an enriching and, if I'll say, like an encouraging source of strength and support. But part of this shared experience that we have as Black people is facing racism and discrimination and inequities in a lot of areas, right? Those are just facts. And we're just going to stick with the facts. From observation, from resource, from results, from living, being, and seeing it with our own lives, from being a part of that experience, right? So the inequities that significantly affect Black people does bear on the mental health and wellness state, right? So the perception of being less than a person, less than a human being, people of color, that Black people face that, and it's stressful and it is traumatizing. And in our Black communities, there are challenges that we face that are structurally challenging, right, when it comes to assessing and treating our physical and mental health, right? So let me just get to this piece of statistics here, right, because Blacks in the USA are more likely than white people to report persistent symptoms of emotional distress, sadness, hopelessness, feeling lost, feeling at a disadvantage, right? We're more likely to say this is what we're facing. Whether you're speaking to a therapist or not, you're speaking it to your friends, you're speaking it in your music, you're speaking it in your life, style, you're speaking it on the blogs, you're speaking it to the people in your family, or sometimes we even preach it as if it's this, you know, the sermon that, you know, takes us through life. But it is significantly overlooked. How do we get to the root of this and how do we fix it? There are going to be a lot of questions. There are going to persistently be a lot of questions. Because Blacks typically live below the poverty line and are typically twice as likely to be psychologically distressed, right? Number one, let's think about the financial aspect of the whole situation, right? Your financial security. That alone provides psychological distress. How am I going to care for my family? So when you think about a Black man struggling to care for himself, to care for his family, you have to attach that to where is this person at financially? What's the financial state? But also, what is his mental state at that time? What is his background? Now, we say it takes a village to raise a child. And in our Black community, we try to stick with that as if it is the Bible. But what we fail to recognize is who are the people in that village? So I'm going to take it back, Black men and mental health. A DMX tragedy, I'm going to take it back to birth. I'm going to take it back to our parenting. I'm going to take it back to what's the mental state of the parents and how are they going to take personal responsibility for raising that Black man? This is a whole nother, I mean, the variables are incredibly vast, right? The situations, the way that we can spin this is so astronomical that we are going to be talking about this forever and ever and ever, Because first of all, if you have a mind, if you're a human being, if you have the, if you can think, right, you have to hone in on taking care of your mental health. That space is very sacred. Now, of course, there are going to be, I don't know, a chemical, you know, variables and things like that, that, you know, you may not have control over what is physically happening in your body that's affecting your mental health. But in a lot of ways, let's talk about the actual actions, attitudes, and behaviors that goes into why does a black man feel the way he does. And I'm just keeping on the lines of mental health and wellness at this point, right? Well, first of all, it is a taboo subject in the black culture. I don't care whether, I don't care black in America, I don't care black in the Caribbean, black in Africa, black in Italy. If you're black, it comes from a cultural place where it is so taboo to talk about it. Now, when I say cultural, we can get into the nuances of the religious, spiritual aspect of mental health, right? But culturally, so many black men are suffocated by fear. And because they're suffocated by fear, they're told, man up, suck it up, this is what's supposed to be. And first of all, this is how they're raised and conditioned to be. So in other words, when you have a young boy just out of the baby stage, even as babies, they're spanked, they're beaten. It's almost like they're beating something out of them and something into them. You begin to sign that death sentence for that child because when you begin with abuse, you start to lose that child. That child begins to lose themselves. They begin to lose their self-worth. They begin to lose their sense of what love looks like and feels like because now you're sending mixed signals of what feels good when you embrace, love, cuddle, and listen to that black child or that man or that young man that you are raising. So in other words, you start to literally break that child. And parents, black parents, think that, oh, this is the right thing. But when you start to break that child, you break what is naturally occurring in his spirit, in his soul, and within his emotion. And so as a result of that, there starts to be this grief and loss of self. And then they're grieving that loss. And so mentally, they're trying to figure out what is going on. So for a lot of black men, they are broken emotionally, mentally. And let me go into saying from broken homes in many cases, right, where you don't have a two-parent home, whether you have a two-parent or one-parent home, but themselves broken. And are they passing that brokenness on in a way to say, I don't want you to go through what I went through, but they are instigating the same behaviors. So you're talking about brokenness from a broken home, broken mental, physical, and emotional state. And let me just say, sexual abuse as well. It is rampant in our black communities. As an adult, and I'm a woman in my early 50s, I have friends, and as we come about in growing up and being open, and you have to be open about your own openness about listening and being empathetic. I have friends who are married to men or have had relationships with Black men who have been sexually abused. The other day I was watching a movie, and I highly recommend, it was painful. I typically don't pick those kinds of movies because it's so deep that when you know and see and understand that it was a true story or it's a true story, it even stabs you even more because it's dark. It is deep, and it is the reality. The movie I was watching was called The Fisherman's Diary. And the amount of emotional, mental, physical abuse that went on in the family, and this was based in some village in Africa. But I watched it, and some of the scenes were played out, but it was so heartbreaking. At the end of the movie, where you actually saw the actual person, girl, giving her speech at her graduation, and you're like, oh my God, that was all true. So there is a lot of abuse that goes on, and Black men are told to hold it in. Why do Black men face a greater challenge? Lots of factors. Almost too many to talk about. So we have to start the conversation, and we have to continue the conversation. Can't just start when DMX is 50 years old and died of a drug overdose, allegedly, or from complications resulting from years and known years, he's talked about it, of drug abuse. Because when you think about a kid himself at the age of 6 was beaten in one instance so badly by his mom that he lost his two front teeth. At the age of 6, that's a baby. Imagine how, with a broom, imagine how bad that is. And that's just one incident. Imagine what this child has been accustomed to all those years. And then 3 years later, at the age of 9, to be dropped off at a shelter. And years later, to be introduced at the age of 14, that's still a baby, to drugs, hard drugs, tricked by someone, a mentor that he looked up to. And in between that time, his best friends being stray dogs. What kept and held him through that time was possibly his music, what was inside of him, what he needed to get out, right? But in the meantime, 2 years of torment, of mental illness, of turning to getting high with a variety of drugs and a lifestyle, because you're trying to numb that pain. We have lost and we are losing too many of our Black men to substance abuse, stemming from brokenness as infants, from mental, physical, emotional, sexual abuse. And in the meantime, being told to don't say a word. In the meantime, to be told to that we don't talk about this in this house. We don't talk about how you feel. We don't talk about your need. We dismiss the fact that we see that you're down and depressed, that you're saying things out of anger, you're speaking your truth. But what happens? It's a slap across the face. It's a beating with a broom. How dare a young man report a sexual abuse by another man. How dare they? How dare they talk about their own sexuality, what they've done to another child or another person? All of these issues, the issues of abandonment, the issues of not feeling worthy, no matter how much money, no matter how much popularity, no matter how much success in the eyes of the world, what's going on the inside is what needs to be fixed. We think about the Whitney Houstons, we think about the Princes, the Michael Jacksons, the DMXs. Those are the names that we know because we see them on stage, we know their music, or someone will post about them, whether you're a fan or not, it hits you. It hits you because a lot of times you're thinking, wow, that's my age. Like my husband isn't even 50 yet. He's turning 50 this summer. And you think about like, oh my gosh, he's just a kid. That's what I think about him. Like, oh my gosh, you were 27 when we got married. Wow, you're going to be 50. So when I think about a light, and a lot of times we'll say gone too soon, the life that we look at this age of 50, DMX, a tragedy of mental health. We say gone too soon, but how soon was soon? Was soon when he was 6 years old? Was too soon when he was 9 years old, dropped off at a shelter? Many of our black men may not be dropped off at a shelter, but they may have been they may have had feelings of abandonment. Abandonment because the single mom was not home to care for them. So they fell into the hands of a drug abuser, a sexual abuser, because guess what? In our communities, we say it takes a village. But you don't care who's in that village. What are the disparities? What are the disparities? Let's think about it. Here's a statistic. In 2018, 11.5% of black adults in the U.S. had no health insurance. Now, you may say it's only 11%, but what's the total percentage of that live in America? It's barely 13% of all of the people in America that are black. So that's still a high number. The black communities are more likely to experience these socioeconomic disparities. Number one, you got a job, you're a single mom or single dad, right? You have 2, 3, 4, 5 children in one home, in some instances with fathers, because once again of the mental health issues, the socioeconomical issues, they may be running here, there, they may have several children, or whether they know of or not. There are some fatherless children, not because the father has died or has physically abandoned, but because they simply don't know who the father is. They've never seen a father. The father probably didn't even know that the mom got pregnant. So we're dealing with a lot of issues here, right? So you might have those issues of abandonment, a single parent, and back to the health insurance and health care. That is a lot of ways needed to help. Mental health doesn't just affect blacks. It affects everyone, regardless. It's just, you mean, physical health, same thing. To say the same thing about diabetes, heart disease, different things like that. There are statistics for both mental and physical health. But you've got a single mom or single father who's taking care or who's responsible or should be responsible for their family, their children, the well-being of them. Are you going to take $5,000, $10,000, $12,000 out of your paycheck of insurance? Probably not. You're probably going to decline it. Or do you have the job that you can afford to have health insurance? Because I will dare say most Blacks are not going to go and have outside health care. And so in a lot of ways, whatever you may get that is from the government health care or whatever it is, how equitable is that, right, when you need to seek health care, whether it's mental or physical health care? So let's talk about the parental involvement in home life. You got to take a look at the parents' past, what they're doing in the present with raising their own children, and what that future generation going to look like. Just like how we pass on other connections and expressions of our culture, if we don't work at getting this right, we're going to continue the cycle. And it's very sad. It's a sad state. The socioeconomic disparities, it exists, but what can we do? The stigma. There's a study that showed actually that 63% of Black people, oh my freaking God, 63% of Black people. If something's over 60, it's like, okay, it's almost 70, that's close to 100. Believe that a mental health condition is a sign of personal weakness. First of all, you think of a mental health condition as a problem. It's a sign of weakness. It's a sign that there's something evil about you or that something's wrong with you, that you need to be fixed, that you're broken. Well, yes, there is a brokenness that goes along with that because it leads to sadness, depression, and continuous mental health problems. You dream your life away. There's fear that sets in. You cripple yourself. You literally sign a death sentence. Doesn't say that you're not going through things. Everybody goes through things. I mean, you have moments of feeling down, helpless, depressed. That's all normal and natural. Every person has times or periods or whatever, but it's something I say, if you can't shake something in 3 hours, 3 days, or maximum 3 weeks, mentally, physically, if you get up every day or you don't get up, getting up every day, then you have to check yourself. Now, I will dare say that we have got to look behind the eyes. But first, look into the eyes of the people that we love, that we care about. Spend time. Listen to them. So many times that therapy, that talk therapy, that counseling begins with you on the other side. It may not be in front of someone at their desk or on someone's couch, but if we just listen to each other as friends, as parents, as family, you will be able to at least begin a conversation with a person to start to open up. Just sometimes that's all we need to begin the work. So DMX, a tragedy indeed, and it's not just a DMX tragedy. It's a tragedy for our Black men and mental health. And I mean, I think at this point, we have just got to continue the conversation and embrace our mental wellness as much as we embrace our physical wellness. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me on today's show, The Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Charmaine, and I look forward to continuing the discussion. Have a wonderful day.